Advertisements can be dangerous. This one caught me off guard. I generally don't pay a lot of attention to them, but this one caught my attention. In fact, it caught my attention to such an extent, I can't tell you what it was advertising, but I can tell you the scene. It's a little boy riding his bicycle. Mom and dad are pushing him, and they've got this great expression of satisfaction, enthusiasm, and expectancy. The little boy is riding with all his might, and the camera pans down and shows and makes you aware that the training wheels have been taken off. And then it goes back up to the little boy, and all his muscles and all his might, expectancy, thrill in his eyes, but some fear and some anxiety around the edges. But he is riding with all of his might. And then it happens. His parents let go, and they stand there holding their breath. And this little boy just keeps on going. A wobble here or two, but then he gets it straight. He is able to ride with balance and freedom to go. Wikipedia identifies that there are 240 million Americans, making up 384,000 Christian congregations here in the United States. Now we're in that number. And something I've been wondering about as I've been preparing for this series of sermons on Jesus and the body of Christ is, do we really understand, have we really made the connection how head and body are essential if we're going to fulfill the purpose that God intended when he opened the heavens and opened the way for the church to be birthed? Do we make the connection that we are the body of Christ, not just a building? Yes, we've got a nice building here. Not just an active institution, but we are the body that is given the opportunity, the privilege, and the challenge to live out our purpose and mission for Christ. But there's one thing more. According to Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, we are a body united together under the head. We call him our Lord, who heads up the church. Why? Because our resurrection Lord needs a body through whom he can continue to speak and act. Did you hear it in the scripture this morning? It's the way he becomes present to everything and everyone, and it begins right here. We are the body of Christ, connected with the head, being church to time. Without the head, we're just a body who have social connections. We can like to be together, but it's something we can kind of treat as convenience, or if we have time for it. And please don't hear me being critical of people who have busy lives. We all do. It'll be over a year since I've been at Stone Church to worship with our new pastors. And I really miss that because I had a part in helping them get there. So I know what it means to be busy and away from my home congregation. So don't hear it in a critical way at all. But Peterson writes, all of us doing what we feel like doing when we feel like doing it. Did that grab hold of you when you heard it read this morning? It's like a child growing up who screams, or maybe sometimes very quietly says, Mom or Dad, let me alone. I can do it on my own. Sometimes when I realize how we design and carry out our life as congregations, and believe me, in 50 plus years, I've had the opportunity and the privilege to deal with a good many churches as a pastor and as a district executive. It seems like we act independently, based on our own tastes and interests. Don't hear me wrong. Those are important. But we get caught up in the routine aspects of being church. I wonder, when was the last time that we thought about the fact that we are the body of Christ? And when you put it in that context, rather than just a gathering together, going to Sunday school, going to church, going home, when you put it all together, what do you think about? How does that change your perspective, or does it change your perspective? God is the one who opened the way beyond the grave for a body to exist. But that body has no life, no energy, no values, or direction without our making the connection that Jesus is the head of the body. The head enlightens us. The head calls us. And the head challenges us. Calls us to be, to have character, to fit who we are as the people of God, and calls us to do. Now, we can get very busy as churches. And one of the things that I, as a district executive, paid a little closer attention to than maybe I do, as I ought to maybe do now, is how the doing did or did not relate to who Jesus is, what Jesus did, how Jesus wants us to live our lives. Eugene Peterson, in an earlier verse of the morning scripture, that if you have the text, you might want to read all of Ephesians 1 and at least the first six verses of 2. He says in the earlier part, it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Do we realize the importance of this connection? Remember the opening story about the boy? He was filled with anticipation and excitement, also had extreme concentration, so that when his parents let go of the bike, he had a wobble or two, but kept on pedaling with balance because he had practiced and he had learned. That led him to have the freedom to ride. Now, he still had the help of the parents, but it's fascinating in this advertisement to see when the parents let go, he doesn't even know. He feels a wobble or two, but he has learned. His brain has taken it over. He has the passion and the desire to ride, and he rides that bike. Do you remember that moment in your own life? Do you remember when you learned to ride your bike? Now, I'm not saying you didn't have some scrapes or bruises or falls. And my brother and I played cowboy and Indians, and so we'd knock each other over a mound of dirt, and our bikes would tumble down, and we'd roll down, because that's what cowboys did, right? For us to understand the connection as the body of Christ with Christ as our head, it takes our learning and our practicing together. It takes a desire for him to be in the lead and a commitment to do what he teaches. Love God, love neighbor, care for the marginalized. We all have different opinions about immigration, but are we concerned what's happening to the immigrants when their children are taken from them? Do we care about the homeless, the homosexuals, the prostitutes, those in prison, those who are hungry? And the list goes on and on and on. It's where Jesus was. What do we learn about that? What do we know about counting the cost and letting go and riding for the cause of Christ? I have to confess, even though I've been a pastor, sometimes I've been very hesitant and not sure. And that's why we need a community of believers to pray with us, to talk with us, to think with us. Kate pointed out last Sunday a reality about being the body. She said, as members of the body of Christ, we experience together happiness and sadness, joy and sorrow. Did we feel the joy of the singing of the music this morning? Peace and anxiety. We know something about that, don't we? In a pastoral change and belonging and separation. Really painful stuff, especially when we don't want to see the people go. But I would add to that a little bit less of the interrelational stuff, but very important upon relationships, being important to be molded together as a body who carries Jesus Christ forth from this place. I would add, share the responsibilities and the opportunities of ministry and mission. We are a body joined together as human beings with real feelings and tastes and interests. But I have to caution us about that. Are our tastes and interests at the expense of others' tastes and interests? Can we find a way to be together that we respect and we honor everyone who's with us? To be the body of Christ invites us into an honoring and respecting role that begins with the head. And I think that's where we can get into trouble sometimes. When we forget the head and we become this beautiful, wonderful body, we can sometimes forget to respect and honor each other. But Jesus calls us to begin there. And he had a pretty motley group of people to work with as disciples. And they didn't all respect and honor each other. And we feel the tension. We feel the torment of that body. We feel the finger pointing. We feel and understand that something isn't right when the disciples had that painful separation and betrayal. Samuel Wells, in his book, Incarnational Ministry, describes it this way. If we are with God and with one another, there's nothing we cannot face, endure, or be in some way enriched by. I want to say that again. If we are with God and one another, not separately, but with God and with one another, there's nothing we cannot face, endure, or some way be enriched by. But he offers this opposite possibility. Likewise, if we're not with God and not with one another, there is little, if any, joy to be had. This morning, we will take the bread and the cup. And after it's blessed, we're going to take it inside of ourselves, because that's where we need to do our work. Christ in us, Christ among us. And my question to you as we do that I'd like you to ponder as we move into the bread and cup time, is will you find a balance and a freedom to be who God asks us to be and do what God asks us to do in this time and from this place so that he becomes present, strengthening us, encouraging us, comes present to our neighbors wherever we live, comes present to a world who needs to know there is a higher power and a grace that can make a difference.